Blog Talk Radio.
Goes off just like that. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's Good Stories, a Good Story, and it's Tuesday, September 24th, and it's 8 o'clock p.m., and we have a really large show planned, a lot of stuff. We're going to do a lot of things on this show, and we're really going to have a good time on this show, but we are going to give you a lot of information, and this is a show for everyone. Okay, and first I'm going to introduce our Elizabeth Black, who helps me a lot of times. She comes on the show, and she's my co-host, and we've done horror shows and together, and we've done romance shows, but we've not done one of these shows, I don't think, but this is a show of the best of the best, and it's not the only best, but these are people that I would use to do services, and I have used, and we're going to introduce them as soon as we talk about a few other things, but first we'll say, hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well.
You've been busy. I see you on all week.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook. Are you done?
Busy with Facebook.
Are you done with your story?
Yes. I finally handed in one story, and I just submitted another one. So, and I have another one to finish by Saturday. So I have plenty of writing to do. Erotica and horror, a little of both.
I know. We've had these shows together. I want you to say everything you do, and I think before I introduce somebody, I will probably say what I do, because I always forget to do that, so people are saying, please do this. Okay, so I'm going to do it. Okay, you talk first, and you can say the things that you do.
Okay.
And who you are.
Well, I write erotica and erotic romance. That's what I first started out writing. And I also write fantasy, dark fiction, and horror. In addition to that, I write nonfiction articles about human sexuality. I write sex toys reviews. I've done various kinds of like SEO types of work with some sex toys companies in England. And I tend to get around a lot.
And you've been doing this for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing this for close to a decade.
There you go. All right. Okay, and then, all right, I will actually say what I do. Okay, I am Marcia Casper Cook. And I am an author, and I've been an agent. I still am an agent, Marcus Bryan Associates, and we also do launches. And I'm with World of Ink with the launches, and we also do some of the tours that Virginia does, Virginia Grenier. And I'm Michigan Avenue Media, and that's part of the launches. And that is my publishing company that publishes my books, because I've started to publish my own books now. And I do screenplays, nonfiction, children's. Jeff and I actually, he's going to be in now, my editor is here, who I don't like to write a word without him checking it over, even if it's one sentence, I have done that, and I'll introduce him in a minute, but we've done a horror screenplay together, and I have 12 screenplays, and one of the reasons I'm having this show tonight is because I've noticed a need out there for everybody that's out there that has written in the last month or so. I see a lot of people that are depressed. They're ready to put their head down with the covers over their head. They're very upset. They haven't sold a book. And everybody's losing the fact of writing is fun. It should be fun, and enjoying it. And I think what's happening is that everybody's under such pressure, because everybody's saying, how many books did you sell? What did Amazon do? What number are you? And so I think what's happening is people are losing what they started with, which is wanting to write. So everybody on this show are people that I have used. Willow is not here. Willow Cross, but Jeff will say, Jeff Glaze, J.H. Glaze is here, and he'll talk a little bit about the show that they're doing. But she helped me out of a situation, and I now published my Virginia Templeton series, and it's now in book form, and it has been an e-book. And now it is a published book, and it's by Michigan Avenue Media. I've changed over some things. And Jeff Glaze is here, and he did my covers that are beautiful, and I loved them, and he did all four of them. And Jeff Fleischer is here. He did all my editing, and Well, Marnie's not here. She does some of my social marketing. And Kelly is here, and Kelly does my banners. So I've used a lot of these people, and so I want you to just kind of listen to them because they actually know what they're doing. And it does concern me after I've done this for over 20 years, and I've been a WG agent for over 15. And I've seen people's books, their screenplays, and Jeff has been actually with me most of the way, Jeff Fleischer. So I'm going to introduce Jeff Fleischer, and he can talk about himself for a few minutes. And hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. And I do speak of you a lot. Everybody knows I don't like to write a word without you. But why don't you tell everybody what you do?
Well, I do a lot of different things. I've been a journalist for about 15 years or so. I'm a nonfiction author. I'm a published short fiction writer. But I also, on top of that, do editing of people's books. I'm editing of articles, editing of newsletters, search engine optimization for websites. I've built WordPress sites for people. I do social media for people. So a mix of a lot of different things.
And tonight you're probably going to talk about social media and things like that, and we'll get that in, you know. But you are there for me all the time, and you do edit, and we will probably talk about that a little later, about how the editing, how important the editing is to everybody, number one. That's the top. Do you want to talk about that for a minute right now, just so we don't get off the track? Because I have been known to get off the track, which you know for sure, about editing a little bit, about what you think is important for people to know about the editing.
I mean, it's generally just important to have books edited, even if it's, like, even when you're a professional writer, you're still, you know, you have to remember everything that's ever come out in a newspaper or magazine that's been edited by a second set of eyes. And it's often just important to have a second person look at it to see things you didn't see, things you thought were there that weren't there, things in the plot that make sense to you because you already know them. But if it's not on the page, it's not clear to the reader. So even good writers can use those kind of services. Especially with beginning writers, there's a lot of very basic things, too, that they need help with, whether it's language use, sentence structure, consistency throughout the book is a big thing. A lot of people, especially if they write over the period of a long time, they may write entire sections that are grammatically different, where the tone is a little bit different, and you want to have a consistency to the reader because they're not going to read it that way.
Right.
So there's a lot of little things to look for.
And you do look
for...
But the thing I have said about you is that what you do is you do not change my words. And people are always afraid of people changing their words. You don't change my words, but you have made sentences sound better. But that's not changing
I don't change the meaning, which is different.
Right, right.
Unless there's a problem, in which case I usually go over that with the author and say, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
Do you mean
which
this
every author
this?
Has. And that's why you need somebody editing it, because you need someone to look over your shoulder and say, this doesn't make sense, which is what you just said, and that is really true. And every author and everybody on here is an author now, I think, because Laura's going to come up next. But, Laura, you have your book out, too. I'm going to put – Laura, why don't you come out from it and just say what you do, and then I'll have everybody else.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Laura, and I have a business, and what I do is book covers. That's with Outlet Design. And I do book cover swag, as well as anything in regards to anything that you need logos to brand your series, and I also do websites. I've been fortunate to have a great clientele that have been happy with me. I work off word of mouth, and fortunately, I just go by what they want, and I've always designed everything that I go by what they want, and I think it's been a blessing. And then I just finished published my book on the 31st of August, and under my pen name, that's H.P. Landry, and it's the book Regret, and luckily everything's been going good, positive reviews, so I can't complain, and, you know, overall, it's a learning experience, and now I know firsthand on the other side of what authors have to go through.
Right, right, which is not easy.
You know,
but you also, your job before this, you did fundraising?
I was actually the social media director
for
Toyota dealership, and I actually was running that for about 2 years. And I did everything from online reputation to SEO and campaign marketing, press releases, things of that sort.
Okay. So, I mean, you've like everybody on this show has done more than one thing. So that's the good thing about this, because everybody has just, they didn't just one day say, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. All right. Let's see. J.H., do you want to come on and say who you are? And you've been on before with three other ladies, usually. So this time you're on by yourself, so it's all your show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm used to the group environment. I'm J.H. Glaze. I'm a fiction, horror, thriller author. I have right now 10 books available through Amazon, and I just uploaded a new one tonight that should be published before midnight. And I do just about everything, the websites, the graphics, the swag, the covers, and all that stuff. Also do formatting, and the only thing I don't do is editing. So
okay, and you've been writing it for years, and you've been doing this for a long time also. So, you know, and you see a lot of the problems around, and that's what we're going to talk about next, is all the problems that occur. So I'm wanting everybody to talk about what they do. So everybody on this panel tonight is very well educated in what goes on in, as being an author and social media. And, okay, Kelly?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Hello. You've been on also. Okay. All right. And you do a lot of things. So tell everybody what you do.
I do. I'm a romance author, and that's how I got started in the business. I have 6 novels published now with 2 different publishers, and then I'm about to come out with a new trilogy that I'm going to do publish through my company, which is also a graphic arts company. It's Selecto Graphics, and we do pretty much book covers, book trailers, swag, like, you know, bookmarks, business cards, posters, whatever you would need. We offer some package deals where we kind of put a promotional package together for the author. And we really work closely. I have 2 publishers under contract, and we do their book covers for them. And we have social media promotions that we do. We have a premium author club. And to join the Premium Author Club, you pay a small price, and then we do all your social media marketing for you. We do 5 or 6 social media sites, and we, you know, hit once a week with little blurbs and teasers and things like that for authors. So we do a range of things. We do not do websites, and we do not do editing. So it's wonderful. I want to congratulate the folks who just mentioned that they have new books coming out, so that's awesome. I'll be going to look for them. And we do a lot of different things, but, you know, like I say, I think where we maybe stand out a little bit is we have the package deals where we can do, you know, for example, we do formatting, and I can do the cover, the formatting, you know, the print cover and a trailer, you know, all rolled up into a package. So that may be the only thing.
And you do have social media marketing where what you do put it on the site. And the banner, and do you want to say the price? Because there's a lot of people on, you know, that are listening and will listen in archives that will say, oh, I can't afford this. So I would like you to say how much your pricing is for 6 months.
Sure. For our Premium Author Club, what we charge is $35 for 6 months, and what that gets for you is we put you on our website, on our associate links page, which for $10 extra, we'll throw in a banner, and we'll put your banner, whether we do a banner or not, you still get on our associate links page, and we'll promote you there because we get thousands and thousands of hits on that page. And then we also put you on, well, once a week, we will do a teaser or, you know, whatever you really want us to promote. It's usually, the membership is usually by book. So if you have multiple books, we can talk about, you know, a different price. But it's usually $35 per book. And then what we do is we hit Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Pinterest, and Google+ are the ones that we primarily focus on. And we do a blurb once a week for each one of our members on all those different sites. So even if, you know, I've heard a lot of people have mixed emotions about social media and blasting social media and how tiring it gets, you know, as far as what people read and what they see. And it may not necessarily always directly lead to sales, but what I think it does for an author is gets their name out there multiple times, and the more people see it, and the more, it's like what I call drip marketing.
Right.
The more they see it and the more they notice it, you know, one day they're going to say, I keep seeing this name. I'm going to go
right.
and see what this is
right.
all about.
So I think so basically what I, you know, is what the show also is that there are affordable prices here. So, I mean, you know, and there are more expensive prices. There are different premium prices, but, you know, you can check everybody's websites, which we will give later on in the time, you know, and I do, you can always call me at, you know, or email me at the World of Ink or at Michigan Avenue Media, and I'll be happy to tell you their website or whatever you need. And everybody on this show tonight does talk to people. So one of my things for the last 2 months has always, I keep repeating the same thing because I've had a lot of issues with things where people are just wanting to do everything by email. You cannot do everything by email. I do, I'm on email all day long and I'm reading my email, but you cannot do everything. So the point is everybody here will talk to you if you want to talk to them and get some advice from them. Okay, Elizabeth, we didn't forget anybody, right? I think I even said so that we're all okay.
No, we got everybody.
Okay. You might have questions for everybody. Do you want to talk to, you know, you want to ask some questions of that you might want to know?
Yeah, there was a big question that I have that I know that a lot of writers are asking is that when you're looking for somebody to help you out with marketing and social media and you're looking at a company, what kind of questions should you ask them to determine if they're a right fit for you?
Okay, who wants to answer that? Anybody can? It's open, so anybody can. Does anybody want to answer that one? Okay.
I think that's a difficult question to answer, and the reason why I say that is normally you would say, well, give me some of your page links and maybe some references from some people that you've worked with or their pages or whatever. But the problem with that is that today you can buy likes on a page, or you can buy Twitter followers, or you know, all the various things that are available now. There's a way to game the system on that. So the traditional method of checking references, checking sources, and things like that doesn't necessarily apply to social media.
Right. See, that's the other thing that, you know, I've had conversations about the subject with various people, and one of the problems is, and I want to stress this one thing, you can't believe everything you hear. And Jeff Fleischer is here. He knows me. I'm always believing everybody and thinking everybody is, you know, telling the truth. But I have since learned, after maybe 15 years, that it is not the case. They are not telling the truth sometimes. And you don't know how many books people sell. So I think that it's best to just kind of enjoy this social network, have fun, do this, and try to see if you, that's one of the reasons I'm having the show today is because of that question, Elizabeth, is, you know, because these are people right here that I have used, and I am very fussy, you know, I have done this for a lot of years, and I really like to know that everybody follows through, and everybody that is here tonight follows through. There are a lot of people out there that do not follow through, and that's what, Elizabeth, that's probably why people are asking these questions, because they're not following through.
They're having bad experiences.
Yeah. And I've had some myself. Anybody else would like to, does anybody else want to bring up something about that before, you know, somebody else ask a question about bad experiences?
I was just going to say also if you can talk to them via phone. You know, if an author can email them, contact them by their website and just ask, hey, can I speak to you over the phone because I really want to kind of talk through what I'm thinking and what I would like to do. And if they respond well to that, then I think that's a pretty good sign that you've got a good, solid person that's really going to follow through and, you know, and work with you.
Right. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say was personally when it comes to you know, working with any client, for me personally, I try to sit down with them and dedicate at least an hour just for them. and get out everything I can think of and ask him everything that they can. And I would actually go as far as like writing a proposal for them, giving them ideas, and then basically allow them to know that, you know, I'm fully disposable for them. It's not just like a one-stop shop with me. Like, if they need anything, they can come back to me. They can always ask me for a question regarding their website, how to do it. And I actually take over and allow them to learn how to use and navigate their websites, and they never have to basically pay again. And that's really what my goal is.
Okay, maybe one of the things that we should do is, J.H., do you think you could do me a favor? Are you in the chat room? Do you think if everybody gives their website, you can put that in there? So
yeah,
you know, can say it out loud, or, you know.
Can you hear my dogs barking?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's okay.
Sorry. I hear that. I wonder what that was.
That's fine. You know, Laura, why don't you give your website?
Okay, I'll put it into the room.
Oh, you're in there too? Oh, you're in the chat room.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay, so fine. You can do it. Okay. And, okay, Jeff Fleischer, do you want to say your website?
Oh, sure. It's jefffleischer.com. And the surname is spelled S as in Frank, L-E-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Okay.
So jefffleischer.com, all one word.
All right, and J.H., your website?
Well, for services and things like that, it's mostcoolmedia.com. I'll put it in chat room. Mostcoolmedia.com.
Right. Okay. And Kelly?
And mine is selectographics, and that's selectographics.com.
Okay. Because I have yours on my Good Stories, A Good Story blogspot.com. And so anybody, yeah, I'll put Jeff Fleischer's in, and I have Jeff Glaze, and I have Kelly, Laura, then send me the link, and I'll put you on also.
Hey, the Selected
okay, no
Graphics,
problem.
Spell Selected Graphics, selectographics.com?
No, it's F-I-X-G-R-A-F.
Oh, okay.
As in Frank, IX.
Okay, now, and then, you know, one of the other things is that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that want to self-publish, and they, and it's changed a lot in the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years. It's really changed a lot, and most of the people that are on tonight probably weren't in this business as long as I've been in this, and, you know, Elizabeth, you've been in this too. So, and the thing is, when social networking wasn't the biggest thing like 10 years ago, as it is like now, it's just different. Everything is very, very different now. And when I did self-publishing, there weren't a lot of publishers that there are now, and there are a lot of small publishers. And everybody's having a lot of problems now. What's happening is over the last 10 years, things have changed so much that the rules keep changing, people keep changing, your ideas keep changing, and hopefully anybody that you use is up to date, you know, on what is going on. I mean, does anybody want to talk about the fact that how outdated some people might be, and they have to be, you know, you have to do this. It changes so fast. Does anyone want to take that question as far as, like, what people can do to try to figure out what market they fit in or where they should get their book self-published? And it's not that people shouldn't go to publishers to get published. It's just that it's very hard sometimes to get published. And this is, like, I feel other people don't always agree with me, but I feel at least if you have your book out and you continue writing, you have a goal. And now you can get a book out, where years ago, if you sent for an agent and you couldn't get an agent, you couldn't get a book out. I am an agent, and it was very hard for people to get their books out. And a lot of the publishing companies don't pay attention even to some of the agents, even though everybody would like to believe everybody listens to an agent. And there are a lot of agents out there that are absolutely not good, and they do not do one thing for you. And I think maybe, you know, Jeff Fleischer, you know, you've been doing this with me for a long time. You know, I know you would like everybody to get published, and, you know, you wanted me to keep trying, but I decided not to, and I just decided to get published. But you want to talk a little bit about who's out there and how tough it can be for people to get published, and if they, you know, and they can't give up, you know, because you know how hard I've tried over the years, and I've done pretty well over the years.
I mean,
getting my work out.
I mean, that's sort of the catch-22 of self-publishing, but the positive aspect is if you can't get a book published, you have an option to get it published, and if you work hard enough on the marketing, you can really promote that book.
Right.
The flip side to that is that a lot of people can just flood the market with new work, and so there's that push and pull to it. Like, the benefit is good stuff gets out there that couldn't have gotten out there 5 years ago. The downside to that is that a lot of bad stuff gets out there, too, that shouldn't be out there. And so you have that kind of fight within the marketplace where it becomes, a lot of it becomes about the marketing more so even than the writing. Because if something's not terribly great, but someone can market really well, that can get a lot more attention than something that is good, where the person isn't a particularly good marketer.
But let's say their book gets acclaimed, you know, like a lot of times their books do very well when they're self-published. It's possible then that they could get a publisher.
Me, you know, that does happen. I mean, I know people personally that's happened to. But at the same time, that's usually driven by a combination of quality and sale. Like, most things that come out that are lousy, a publisher's still not going to bother with.
I think that
it sells a lot of copies, they will.
I think that Jeff is right in that regard. If you look at some of the self-publishing to traditional publishing success stories, most of those people sold hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of books before they were ever approached by a publisher, before they were ever accepted by a publisher. But even though they sold that volume of books, the books that they signed deals with the publisher weren't the books that they sold millions of copies of.
Right.
There was if you take Amanda Hawking, for example.
I knew that's going to come up. Right, right. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
But the book that she got her publishing deal with is an entirely new series over what she actually sold millions of copies of.
Yeah.
Right. But by selling those, she demonstrated to the publishers, this is someone who will do the work and do the marketing for it.
Right.
In a way, it's kind of what publishers advocate, a lot of the marketing. Because it lets them, like, force you to do it. And then if you prove you can do it, it gives them an incentive to go with you.
Right.
Well, and it
But it also
shows
advocates
them
their responsibility.
Right. That, and it also shows them that you've got a fan base. You know, you've got a market out there of people who are interested in you as an author. And I think part of it, too, is not only, you know, one of the things that's been successful for me as an author is starting a small street team, because I really think, in addition to social networking, because I believe strongly in Twitter, I believe very strongly in LinkedIn, I've had very good success with both of those sites for both my business and for me as an author, but I also think it's about word of mouth. And the more you can get people who are close to you and believe in you, not just family members, but friends and readers that, you know, buy all of your books, to start talking about it and sharing things on their social media, I think that really begins to build that web and network and fan base that authors are looking for. And it's hard. It is truly a challenge. I think you spend more time marketing probably than you or more time marketing than you do writing, which is disconcerting.
Which is a bad thing. Right, right,
authors.
Which is a bad thing.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's happening to a lot of writers I see out there. They're so busy marketing, and I think there's a limit. I think they need to do something. I feel like sometimes, like I said this last week, of going into some of these groups and saying, like, let's try one thing. Let's not be in this all day long, okay? Because then, you know, it's like, everybody, can you please like this? Can you please like this? And I honestly, truly do believe that it may help, but I think it's hurting a lot of people. And I think what's happening is that the readers, they're not even in it. This is what we're looking for, is readers. We're not looking for everybody to like. If they like us, it doesn't get readers. Elizabeth, you want to talk about this for a little bit? Because I know you've been doing this for a long time. And how do you get readers?
If I had the answer to that question,
right,
I'd be
in. I know that.
What I've been told is that as far as the marketing aspect of it goes, the best thing that you can do to market yourself is to write another book.
right.
Come up with something new so that, you know, you'll get new fans, and once they read, like, if they read one of your books, they're going to go to your backlog. But the problem is getting the people to find you in the first place because, okay, I don't quite understand how it works, but Amazon's algorithms are really screwy. It's a matter of you run a search for, let's say you run a search for erotic romance, they're going to be about 100 pages of erotic romances, and you have one book in there on all those pages. How are people going to find you?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big problem.
Well, actually, the truth is, that is what the radio shows are very good for that. I would say that's to me, the number one thing that people can do to get on different shows and to just talk. And one of the things we're doing with World of Ink now is we're having a lot of different people on, which probably I should say, I forgot to say that. Okay, because tomorrow R. Jeffries is on, and he has a show tomorrow. And we brought in Willow and Jeff Blade. They're going to be doing shows on paranormal, and I do shows on every subject under the sun. I mean, you know, I don't stick to one, but as we all know that. And then we have Cassandra Dane, who is now doing the Sizzling Hot Fire, and we're having a lot of different shows now. And Fran Lewis does reviewing with. So many, many different great authors, and she has them on the show, and now she's having chats on the show. And so, I mean, that's what we're trying to do now because we are very diversified, and now everybody, I think, is meeting people and sharing, and this is really the way to get out there because we all don't live in the same cities. We're all over the place, but at least we are meeting different people that actually are doing this, and we all understand each other because this is hard, and you know, over the years, I've had hundreds and hundreds of clients, and most of them are gone because they couldn't take this. And Jeff Fleischer knows this. I mean, he's worked with me for all these years, and most of them are gone. They just couldn't stay in this because it's really, really hard, and you have to be very determined. And one of the things that I feel is when I'm looking in the groups that some of them that I'm in, I'm looking at them, and some of the newer writers that are coming in, they're actually not as happy as they should be because when you publish a book, self-publish or whatever, you should be happy that you got that book done and it's out there. But what's happening now is people are not happy. They're so unhappy because they don't have hits or likes or shares and all day long. They don't realize they just published a book and how good that is. Does anybody else want to take that? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know about that new study that just came out that found that people that frequent Facebook quite a bit it makes them crazy, it makes them sad and depressed.
I don't need help for that. I already had that.
But it's nice getting verification that it's not your imagination. That because it tends to be very isolating, and then you'll find out the people that are on Facebook tend to only talk about their successes. They don't talk about how many rejections that they had before, the hundreds of rejections that they had before their book was finally accepted. You just hear all of a sudden somebody is accepted out of the blue, and they have all of these followers, and people are buying likes and all that sort of thing. And because I'm finding that, if you can get away from that and try to meet, especially if you're able to meet people in person, like doing readings and going to conventions, if you're able to afford that, or joining a networking group where you can meet the readers face to face, and combine that with the online media stuff, that helps to create a bit of a balance for you.
Now, you have networking groups. You want to talk about that just for a little, not the groups that are just writing. You also do things in your group, right? And Elizabeth, you know the groups that you're in where you actually really can talk to each other, have conversations about a lot of these things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a few of them where I have actual conversations with people rather than endless, buy my book, here's my blurb, here are my buy links, every Monday. there are some of the groups, they say you can do your promos, but only on Mondays, but the rest of the time you chat. And, there's a different topic every day. And it's they're actually very good groups like that. But you have to engage people. That's the main thing, is that when you come in there, you can't just slam people over the head with your book.
No, right. Jeff Glaze, I know you wanted to say something. Also, this is one of the reasons, though, that launch parties are good, because launch parties, at least it's people communicating on the phone by the radio. That's what Virginia Grenier and myself were going to be doing, because that's more fun. And just sitting there and just writing like or hit or whatever and share, I don't know how you can keep. I really, you're probably right. People do get crazy from this. And all right, Jeff Blaze, were you going to say something? I think you were.
Well, when it comes to Facebook, I find that when it comes to books on Facebook, especially, that there is almost a limited amount of people who are deeply interested in books. And a question I would ask everybody on the phone who has a Facebook account, when you were trying to find people who were interested in books, who were interested in reviewing books, who are readers and things like that, if you search for certain keywords like reviews and books and authors and things like that, because if you have, then basically what you have found is the same people that I have found and the same people that other people have found. And so realistically, I figure there's about, as far as people who are seriously interested in books, there's probably a core of about 10,000 to 15,000 people who are willing to reach beyond their favorite author, reach beyond the Stephen Kings, reach beyond the Dean Koontz, or, you know, that kind of thing, that are willing to read just about anything, especially independent authors. And so what you have is a large cluster of the same people. Would anybody agree with that?
Exactly. Right, yeah, I would, yeah. Yeah, but we're not, that's one of the things is why I think I came up, well, as people know that I do come up with ideas all the time. One of my ideas yesterday, I just have a new idea every 5 seconds, but I thought maybe in some of the street teams, you know, some of the street teams, you know, I've been in a few of them, and really they're not doing anything for anybody. All they're doing is looking at, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I probably will. This is not, they're looking at guys, like, you know, without their shirts on and whatever. You know, this is not going to help me sell books, you know.
Well, the Facebook street teams are, unless you have a rule for your street team that it's exclusive, that they can only be on your street team, which is highly unlikely. I have one girl on my street team who is a member of 35 street teams.
Okay.
Now these people are reaching all the same people that I can reach by myself.
Right.
Right.
Well, I had a street team made. Right, exactly. I had somebody, and I actually paid for this, and I really liked the girl. But I paid for a street team, and they put me into a street team where people have no idea who I am, and I do happen to have people that are friends and real friends and a lot of people they could have taken, but they got me. People don't even know who I am or what I do or don't even care what I do, for that matter. You know what I mean? So that's what you're saying is you have to be in a team that actually cares about what you do.
You have to
who
have,
you are.
Yeah, your street team has to be fans, hardcore fans,
yep.
Because otherwise they're not willing to do the work that it takes to actually help promote you, especially if you ask them to stretch outside of Facebook, outside of the boundaries that they're normally used to.
Right.
I kept it small, you know, and exclusive. And I have, you know, I started to do a different type of promoting. And, Marcia, you gave me this idea, actually, where you promote the book from the character's point of view. And I posted a blurb for my street team to go out and share. And they did, and one of them called me back later that day and said, I've had 3 people call me about this today already.
Because it's sometimes better if you keep it small and keep it targeted,
you know, for what you're trying to do, focus on maybe one book at a time or, you know, certain things about that book that make it interesting, and then have your dedicated street team go out and, you know, launch it. I had one person who I worked with in a city that I no longer live in, and she went out to all of her friends that also worked, you know, with us when I worked there, and they were all coming in, oh, wow, I didn't even know she was an author, and, you know, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to go buy her book. And, you know, so I think it really, the more targeted you keep the street team, the better off you are, and you select the folks you want to be on that team. So if you see somebody who, you know, keeps coming back or keeps asking questions, or and Goodreads.com is a good place to build a fan base too by just participating in different discussions. Don't ever pitch your book you just participate in the discussions of other books, and then
yeah,
you,
that might be
you
a good idea because I can't, every time I get on Goodreads,
friends and fans that way too.
Yeah, when I get on Goodreads, I go, I have to leave this place because I can't. It's too. It's really you know, and it's, you can get unfocused.
Kindle Boards is another good place to do that sort of thing.
It is. Kindle Boards is
Kindle
also
boards.
Good. I agree.
Kindle Boards. Okay, Laura, what do you? Laura, you did a lot of social networking. What do you think?
Personally, I mean, I listen, you know, there's so many programs out there, but especially when you work for a dealership like I did, you know, I had 20 stores that I oversaw, and when I did that, the social media was really, I went from 100 likes up to 10,000 likes in less than a year. But that being said, you know, you have to engage with people what they're interested in. A lot of times people are not interested in just the hot guys. And I see a lot of authors do that. And they believe very strongly that sex sells. And unfortunately, there are people who are into that. And then, but for me personally, that isn't my genre. So as an author, you know, that... I don't want people to be like, oh, you know, here's this great guy who looks awesome and this and that, and basically sell them something that's not gonna, they're not going to find in my book. You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly. And right, right. So, you have to be with the right people. Right, exactly. You know, and sometimes you're not with the right people. That's the other thing.
And so what I learned is that personally, I, you know, I've been a part of street teams. I've seen how they work. I've seen how, you know, the ins and outs. Again, this is just my personal opinion. A lot of times I feel like they're doing it for their own self-gain. You know, I might shoot me for saying that out loud. But,
No, it's not.
You know, and unfortunately, it's very hard to see whether or not they're there for legitimately, like, you know, to help you because they want to see you succeed. Or is, you know, and that they're a true fan or they're just there for beneficial reasons. So I steered away from the street scene, and I actually went and started doing more of, like, you know, clubs, like a fan club, where people, it's open to anybody. If they want to join, they can, you know, and that way, you know, I'm not putting pressure on them to share what I have to say, what I want. If they choose to share it, hey, awesome, it's great. But if they don't, I'm not going to go and, you know, be upset about it. You know, I just don't feel like, I feel a lot of times, like, if you go to my wall now, it's like you're bombarded and, you know, you have to see all these, you know, promotions and things like that. And then it gets blurred after a while.
See,
I think
you know, that's right. Being on a street team, right, can be really good if you actually start it right. If you start it wrong, it's never going to get better. It's, you know.
Exactly.
And you really
and
do have to.
Exactly. Fortunately, you know, I'm more of an open book type person. I kind of just like, on my author page, I try to be very real. And I try not to really promote. I try to make people laugh about silly things that happen in my life so that they can relate to me. I think that's a lot of times people are not doing that anymore. I think they forget the real person behind it. And so there's people that I do read. And I follow their pages that I adore, like Madeline Sheehan, and she cracks me up every single time. And it's just one of those things that, you know, they stick to your mind. You know, Karen Fisher, she sticks to your mind because you remember what they say because they're very real.
Well, I think what they have to do is not take this so seriously and try to have a good time with this because, which is what, you know, kind of what Kelly was saying, like she's, you know, being the character, and sometimes it is easier. Like I have my Virginia Templeton is a great character because she could say things that I don't say. So I like doing that, and she wears shoes that I couldn't walk in. So, I mean, you know, it's like she's the kind of I'm not like her, but I do enjoy writing her, and I enjoy the things that, you know, she loves shoes, so I put them out there, and that's what people want to see. She likes men, so they watch, you know, that's a different audience. But I think you really have to have kind of a good time with this because once you start really thinking about, as these groups do sometimes, sell, 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 I think that it is just you ruined what you started because you're not going to stay in this. And this is one of the reasons that I'm always talking about some of the same things because I see people disappearing. In the last 3 years since I've been doing shows, I've seen more than half the people that I knew at the beginning, they're gone. They're all gone. And a lot of them were good writers and they were a lot of fun, but they just couldn't take it. Apparently, they're not in it now.
You know, I think, like, oh, sorry, go ahead. I was going to say,
Go ahead.
One big thing with social media, and something, and this kind of ties into everything everyone's been saying the last couple minutes, is that people get too obsessed with numbers
yeah.
and not engagement. And engagement's what matters.
Right.
If you have 2,000 Twitter followers, and they're all just people who liked you because you liked them back,
right.
that doesn't help you. If you have 20 really engaged followers who retweet your stuff, who buy your book, who recommend your book, those 20 are more valuable than those 2,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. People get obsessed with how many books they sold, or they'll give them away for free and sell 1,000 copies. But that doesn't mean people are reading those. And
right.
like, I met someone recently who gave away, because it's 2013, gave away 2013 hardcover copies of their book.
Wow.
Which,
wow.
like, yeah, they gave away, which cost them money, but also that's now 2,000 people who, even if they like it, aren't going to buy it because they already have it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like it, that didn't accomplish anything.
Well, it's true. I mean, if you have a large catalog of titles, giving away one or two books from your list is nothing, because it might encourage people to buy. But if you only have one or two books out, it's foolish
right.
to give away one of the books.
I think that's what
you'll never recoup the expense.
Yeah, it's very different. You know, and I think when we talked to somebody, we talked about this before, I think it was Elizabeth, did you talk about the rejections? I think, okay, this is one of the problems, that a lot of people don't know what it's like to be rejected, I mean, as an author. And when you, this is one of the things that I find, you know, most of the writers in the past have been rejected by a lot of publishers, which is, why, when they finally do get a small publisher, or they do finally get a traditional one of the six, or they start selling really well on their own, it's a great thing. But instead of being so happy, they're not as happy as they should, the people that have not got rejection, because they think, oh, well, I wrote a book, and then you send it into a small publisher, and they go, fine, we'll take it. And the book isn't very good, but the small publisher decided, oh, we'll just take everybody, and some of them do take everybody. Okay, and then they don't know what it's like, and so they get in a group, and they're not selling their book, and they're totally out of their realm. They don't know what to do. They're just like, everybody's selling books, and they don't know that everybody's lying to them, and they're so depressed. So this is one of the problems. You know, sometimes it is better to have learned the hard way of being rejected, and then finally somebody taking you on that will help you get out there. Not someone that just wants it, because a lot of people, I probably shouldn't even say this part, but I might say this tonight, because a lot of the small publishers now are authors, which could and be good and could be not good. A lot of times they understand what you're going through, but a lot of times they are trying to get their own books out there. And that is a problem. Anybody want to take that, because I brought it up? I mean, I usually don't go this far, but sometimes it's necessary, because I really feel that this conversation is leading toward that. Does anybody want to add to that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
One thing that
right.
I've always heard from a publisher in general is that I would rather be unpublished than badly published, because
okay.
I've seen too many people that get published by these tiny little presses that are run by some writer out of their kitchen who has no experience with actual publishing. So, yeah, you get excited that your book is published, but it doesn't sell because nobody knows that it's there. So, you know, that's the flip side. And I also think that a lot of writers underestimate how many rejections they're going to get. So they think that there's something really wrong with them, but there isn't.
Right.
It's a normal process. And I think that they underestimate it.
Right.
I'll be honest. Like, I didn't ever want to be like, I didn't want to look for a publisher. I knew for a fact that it wasn't something that I wanted to do. You know, just because of the rejection itself, you know, no one wants to hear that their writing's bad. You know,
Let me just say something. Because you get rejected does not mean that your writing is bad. See, that's one of the things. It means that this publisher might not publish this type of work, may find that it's not for them, but it doesn't mean you're a bad writer. I don't look at it that way. Every time I got rejected, I just made me work even harder to get, you know, to do more work. So that's one of the things. I just want people to understand that. See, that's one of the things. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because it isn't always true. It's not only on your writing. It's just maybe they had a bad day. They're looking at your – sometimes they're looking at your work and it's 4:00 in the morning. They've been up reading everybody's manuscript, they go, forget it, you know. And mm-hmm. that happens. So don't always, so sometimes it's not really that they don't like your work.
You know, and like I said, my writing style, I can honestly say, is eclectic. I guess you could say it's the best word for it, because it's a very emotional ride. I don't do the happily ever afters. I don't believe in them. I just, not every story is going to have a perfect ending. It's not going to be
right.
like,
you are
sunshine
right
and daisies. And, you know, and I can't write something that I don't believe in. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of reviews will get knocked down because it doesn't have a happily ever after type of, you know, setup. And that's fine. Everybody has their choice in how they want to write, and that's perfectly fine. My concern when it came to publishing is I didn't want to change my style of writing just to be marketable. And I think that's where I stood firm onto my belief on the way I write. I didn't want to fit into that cookie cutter, you know, example of what people expected.
I wanted to add something because I know what you're saying here, because I know exactly some people that do this. And one of the problems is the happily ever after. Okay. And that is not, you can have a romance and it doesn't have to be. Some romances don't turn out very well. So why does it have to be happily ever after? Because everybody now says it has to be happily ever after. And that's not really the case. See, and you're right about that, because not everybody writes like that. And that mm-hmm. was one of the reasons I stopped writing romance when I started years ago, is because I felt exactly as you did. And I know a lot of the reviewers now are saying that they only want the happily ever after.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are people that they actually have an application process, and then they specifically ask, does this have a cliffhanger? Does this have a happily ever after? And if it has either or, they won't read your work. I was dumbfounded. I'm like, okay, what happened to good writing? Like, why wouldn't you read a book just because it was good writing? You know, and I had a review recently on Goodreads where the person wasn't sure. Like, they weren't sure whether they liked my book or not. And they didn't know. You know, in the beginning, they loved the prologue, and in the middle, they're like, at the end, they're like, you know what, the storyline lacked. And I'm like, you know what, that's fine, that's what you think. But I have, 12 other reviews who say they loved it. You know what I mean? And that's
you can't let that get you down.
If you ever read anything by the authors like J.A. Conrath, for example, they tell you not to even bother to read reviews.
Right, yeah.
Because ultimately, either you get depressed if you get a bad one. I mean, it's almost like being a manic depressive. I'll be reading a review. I'll be getting three or four and five star reviews, and then I get slapped with a one star.
Yeah.
And the one star doesn't give me any juice on what did they not like about my book or what did they not like about my story. And generally, those reviews will include that killer line that says, "Not worth the purchase."
Yeah, but you want to know something? A lot of people just do that on purpose. I'm going to tell you that right now, because a good reviewer would maybe write you something, and they probably wouldn't even put the review in, you know, out there, right.
And the problem is you don't have a choice of whether you have a good reviewer or a bad reviewer. And in some cases, I get people who tell me that, like, I have this one that's a thriller with aliens in the Pacific Northwest, and a person gave me a two-star review because they said they thought it was going to be a nature story. where it says right in the blurb of the book that it's aliens in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But I think too, though, even a bad review is press.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It gets your name out there. You know, I mean, people, what I have found is when certain authors have bad reviews, then that makes people more curious to go out and look and see what it's all about, you know. And so I don't necessarily take a bad review or, you know, a one or a two-star review. Sure, it stings, but in the overall scheme of things, at least somebody took the time to say something about it, you know.
Right.
And
there are people out there that
other
just
people
do things.
To you.
Right.
There are trolls,
them.
Yeah, that will just give a bad review just to give a bad review, just out of sure meanness. But
I have to encourage them. You know?
What, the trolls?
Yeah, but you have to realize
no,
that.
I
these
encourage
people out there, okay, I know.
Write.
Well, Jeff Fleischer, wait, Jeff, I know. I know what you're thinking. So, you know, let me just say one thing, and I want you to talk about this for a second. These people that are out there writing reviews are not reviewers, a lot of them. They have, maybe they never read your genre before. Maybe they never, you know, they don't ever read a book before. Maybe they just felt like doing it. Jeff, do you want to take
that? Well, if you're talking about, like, online reviewers, it's just somebody. And there's,
right.
It does matter who's reviewing your book. It also matters
right.
The content of the review. Like, not all negative reviews are created equal. If a negative
right.
review
mm-hmm.
is an accurate description of your plot and they don't really care for it, that doesn't hurt you. That actually helps you, because someone who might like that kind of plot will pick that out of the review and go, okay, well, maybe that's not their genre, it's mine. If the negative review is, this person can't speak English in grammatical sense, that's different.
Right.
And it depends what the negative review's content is. And the same with rejection letters. If you're getting
right.
rejection letters from publishers that are, you're a good writer, but we don't really think this is marketable, that's helpful to you. And that actually helps you decide, like, maybe there is a market for this if I can do it myself and self-publish it. If the feedback you're getting is, this is terribly written, maybe you shouldn't self-publish that.
Right.
It depends on what the feedback is, not just the quantity of the feedback or whether it's positive or negative.
Right, because a lot of the people out there are not, and I hate to say this, but, you know, Goodreads, there are a lot of people on that, and they are not reviewers, everybody. They are just people. So, like, it's the
right.
same thing with a movie, okay? Let's say I go to a movie and there's 20 people that are, I always like to listen to, like, when I walk out, my husband goes out first and I'm listening. I like to listen to what they say because I'll think the movie, I go, like, God, this was a great movie, loved it. And people are going, like, oh, my God, it was horrible. And I'm just listening to them, and I feel like saying, like, do you know how hard this is even to write? But, you know, they don't know that. So, but, you know, the fact of the matter is you can't listen, and that's why people out there, that's why I hope tonight after the show that everybody will post this out to their friends to let people know that this show is about the reasons why people are stopping. Like, you're right, Jeff, because these reviewers, you know, people are taking them far too serious. I mean, and they're stopping writing or, you know, it does matter who gives you the review. And a lot of people are not reading books and giving reviews. A lot.
That's true. I mean, I admit it. I do it all the time. I'll read a great book and I'll put it on my wall that it was great, but I won't leave a review. You know, and I know that
but that's okay
the
though.
Author,
you can leave a comment.
You know,
that's
yeah,
okay
exactly,
though.
That's one thing. I comment on my wall like it's no other. You know, like I'll put like this is a great book. You should get it. And, you know, I encourage people who are not readers to start reading all the time.
Right. Well, no
but
way.
At the end of the day, I've converted two women that I know that I'm very close with into avid readers, and I'm very proud of that.
That's
they
good.
Support all these indie authors.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and I think, you know, it all comes down to word of mouth. And, you know, the more that you put yourself out there, you know, I believe in supporting other authors. I believe there's enough business for everybody. And
I agree.
You know,
right.
I don't think, you know, I don't feel threatened by other people's success. If anything, you know, I encourage them and I hope them for the best. And I think once we all start doing that, it'll be such easier life for everyone.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And that's the thing. You know, instead of being supportive, but you will find that a lot of writers are supportive and a lot of people are not supportive. And these are people that you may never meet again. And so don't listen to everything that people say. Like, even when you leave a comment that good luck or whatever, that's nice because comments, people have stopped commenting on things, which why the blog tours are not successful as they were, because now people think they're not looking at the blog tour, but they are. They just don't want to get involved in a conversation, so they don't comment now. So, and they don't share. So everybody's thinking, oh, nobody's seeing their work. But that's not true, because people are. And, you know, and that's one of the things that people should be aware of, that just because you don't get comments doesn't mean people have not seen your blog tour or even bought your book. They may have bought your book.
At the end of the day, currently I'm doing a blog tour. I'm not expecting the blog tour to basically put me to number one or anything like that. I just wanted my book to be exposed, you know. And, again, it's a genre that not many people have read. And when I literally put that I write twisted romance, it's very literally like it's a twisted romance. Please don't expect it to be a happy.
Can I ask you a question? Why didn't you just put, you know, your log line? Why did you have to write something that maybe will, like, why did you have to do that at all, though? Who gave you that advice? Why don't you just put your book out as it is?
Basically, the way I saw it is, personally, and again, this is, I feel the need to identify that this is a book and this is a new kind of genre. And this is not something, it's not typical, you know, new adult book. It's not a typical romance and it's not dark or anything like that. It's just one of the things that will have your mind really opened and you really have to try to think about, you know, where it's going to go. You have no idea at all. Like, you know, people are hit in the face at the end of the day and they're like, oh my God, I didn't expect that. And that's what I like. I like that it messes with people's heads.
Yeah, but does anybody want to, just, I just think that give yourself a better chance, though. Give yourself a better chance by not putting something like that out there, making them question why they're going to buy it. Do you know what I mean? Just, is it a contemporary romance?
It is. And like I said, you know, I put it like that because, again, I read what the different genres was, and I read, like, you know, basically the examples of the books that were in different genres that mine didn't fall into those lines at all.
Okay, wait. And, okay, let me just say something. Okay, Jeff Fleischer, do you want to take that? Because I think that's a good question for you to answer, because I want you to hear something, Laura. Go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry, did you rephrase the question?
Was the question was, if you're putting it in a genre and telling people that it's a newer genre and, you know, why does she have to say that at all? Couldn't she say contemporary romance and just let them make their own decision after they read it?
I mean, that sort of depends. It's
okay.
The more accurate you are with the genre that you describe, the more you're likely to find readers who like it after reading.
Right.
What you don't want to do is put it in a you don't want to put in a bigger category that's too different from what you do, because you don't
exactly.
want readers to feel like they were baited and switched. Because those will
exactly.
get negative reviews or negative comments.
See,
you'd rather have
a
smaller audience that really likes you than a bigger audience that feels like you ripped them off.
Well, how does someone tell that? Because, see, it's a very difficult... The reason I'm saying that, Laura, is because I have My Love Changes. My Love Changes has been out two or three times, and it's a very, very... It's a good story. However, it didn't turn out as perfect as it should have, but I think it did, because sometimes in life, it happens. Sometimes your life is going on, and something else has to happen to make something else happen. And sometimes you just, it's not the perfect ending, but life is not perfect. I totally agree with you.
Right,
and there is no genre
for that. But that book's not genre fiction, which is different. Genre fiction is kind of its own thing. That book's more of a mainstream drama, and it's harder because it's not easily categorized as a particular kind of genre fiction.
Are you talking about Love Changes?
Right.
Or Hurt.
It doesn't neatly fit into, like,
right. So what does someone do then? What does someone do?
That's tricky. That's trickier.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
And again, I honestly, like, through the research that I did, through everything, I went and I researched the books that was in, you know, the genre itself, like new adult and contemporary romance. And the books that are selling, that are branded for those, did not fall in the lines of my book. And I didn't want it to be. And that's why I specified to people.
No, right. I understand what you're saying, because I know this is a very tough question. Jeff Glaze, do you have an idea about what to do about something? Because I know what that she's talking about. On a book in this, the way the market is now, if you say it's a erotic book, if you say it's a romance book, if whatever, but when you have like just a drama or a story that trauma happens, what do you think someone should do?
Well, I think that first of all, you choose your category based on the broad categories that are available, because whenever you're trying to niche your book into a category, especially on Amazon, you have to work with the broad categories. But in the description of the book, you try to I wouldn't necessarily write in my blurb that this is a twisted romance, for example, because twisted romance could mean any number of things. I mean, it could be B&D, it could be S&M, it could be, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sound like something that people would jump right on. So basically, through the description of your book, you might want to allude to the fact that it's not your normal type of romance.
No, and I actually, in my blurb, it literally says, like, you know, at the end, like, you know, he pushed her in arms with a sociopath. That right there, just by that word, they have in their mind that it's not a typical romance. Do you see what I'm saying?
What's your name again? What's the book name?
Author name is H.P. Landry.
Is there a period after the H and P?
Yes.
How do you spell the last name?
Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y.
I'm just looking you up on Amazon right now.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
You know,
Kelly or Elizabeth, do you want to say about that? Because, well, Elizabeth, you know, I mean, that's the problem is the genre, and that's Amazon has done that, and that's a problem for a lot of people.
Is your book called Rex?
Consumers.
Yes, it is.
But also, consumers don't buy based on genre like that.
They what, Jeff?
Consumers don't buy primarily on the genre. They buy primarily on the book description and the blurb if it's not something they want to read.
Right.
Like, people don't necessarily buy just because something's categorized a particular genre. They buy because that book sounds interesting to them.
Right.
And so while it is valuable to be in certain genres, especially if it is genre fiction, like a very specific thing like erotic romance or a sports movie or something like that, that's very specific. But really, even within that, people are still going to buy it or not buy it based on the description of that book.
Yeah, because Elizabeth and I have had horror shows. Remember, we talked about that so many times?
Mm-hmm.
About is it dark thriller? Is it horror? I mean,
this can
ruin it for an author.
Well, the reason it was with horror was because just the word horror was putting people off.
Right.
So they started calling it dark fiction and dark fantasy. Yeah. And, you know, well, I mean, we have erotic was putting people off. So, you know, we have the romance with, it's also not only Happily Ever After, but Happy For Now. Just that there were two different endings. And, I mean, I've had trouble myself because my writing tends to be dark. And I have, like, you know, I've run into loggerheads with some of the endings of my romances because they weren't necessarily Happily Ever After. They were riding right on a very thin line of, you know, not being very happy at all. And I've had to change, at least twice I've had to change my endings because they're very, very strict. I mean, like, romances have a very strict formula that you have to follow. And one of the things is that Happily Ever After ending because the reader expects it.
Yeah, I think that's the key point is what the reader expects.
Right.
And
yeah.
For romance, if you're going to qualify it as a romance, then it has to be... has to have the Happily Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to write something different, I think you have to expect that your readership is going to be a little smaller and narrower than what you might get had you followed that particular formula. And I don't think any writer really wants to follow a particular formula because they all, you know, feel that
their
creative genius is being stifled. But at the same time, if you want to get your name out there and build your readership, you have to satisfy readers and have to write what they want to read, you know, or, you know, you're
but sometimes, but there are stories that are stories that sometimes it there's romance in it, there's a thriller part of it, there's it's steamy,
absolutely.
It could have steamy
that
romance,
cross-genre.
But it doesn't.
Yeah, it's, sure. I write a lot of that. I write, like, romance, thriller romances, you know.
Right, and so, I mean, sometimes you just can't classify. Yeah,
right.
And it's a killer. It
is
a killer.
Tough.
It's very tough. So, Laura, do you understand what I'm saying, though? And
no,
we
I
all have these,
like,
we all have
no,
these problems because
completely.
We all don't write the perfect. Sometimes we don't write the perfect ending to the story because
and like
sometimes,
said,
right? You can't. You're not. No. What I know what you're saying is you can't force your ending if it's not going to end that way. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It ends.
See, like my book, you know, it ends at a cliffhanger and. You know, some people love it, some people hate it. They're like, you know, I think a lot of people have been put into a better taste in their mouth, like where it comes to cliffhangers now, because they feel that a lot of authors are just taking advantage of, you know, of the whole series and trying to make more money. Do you see what I'm saying? I honestly could tell you that for me, Rex was a complete novel for the two characters. The continuation of the next book is actually through a different point of view with a new story, but it's a conclusion of the first. So, I was very firm in that belief that I wanted to make sure that they never felt like they were going to get, it's just the same storyline. It's going to be different points of views from the different characters, supporting characters in the series. So.
But I think it might be a good idea, though, not to just write what you like to write and hope that you'll get an audience, but also don't at the beginning, because I know this is your first book, and
mm-hmm.
so I don't want you to stop writing because somebody will give you a bad review and they didn't get your story, because we all have had that. So I think what you need to do is just write, like what Jeff Fleischer was saying too, and Jeff, you know, just write your story and then write whatever it's about and hope that the reader, that people are going to want to read it. But don't take your market to another level that and or change it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put it where nobody will read it because they don't know what, you know, it's so unusual. Because it's probably...
When I branded it in where I basically the algorithm that I chose to go with was a romantic suspense, you know, adult romance. And then a new adult because she was in the between ages of, you know, growing up and she was in her early 20s. So I left it in that genre. So that way they knew that it wasn't, you know, and then when I do my marketing on my website and things like that, that's where I put it. It's a twisted romance, and I brand it that way.
I think Jeff Glaze may be right about one thing, saying that twisted might mean other things too, though.
Again, but it fell into the category. So that's what I'm saying. And so
yeah,
even
it's very hard. Right. That's what I'm saying. These categories that they've given, like even in contemporary romance now, what they've changed it is because not all of the erotic or erotic, it doesn't fit anywhere. It could be, it's a story with sex in it, and it just doesn't fit. It's not really all erotic. So I think that's a problem now, which I think has occurred. And the new adult is brand new. So nobody, you know what I mean? It's just started out where it's a little different
mm-hmm.
age level. So
it's not even a legitimate category if you're trying to categorize your books and when you
right.
when you publish through Kindle.
Yeah, it is.
And unfortunately, again, when I went through Goodreads, when I went through Nook, and I went through all these different areas, I left it at the romantic suspense. I left it because, you know, it was the closest thing that I could find. It was an adult romance,
right,
it's
right.
romantic suspense.
Right.
And you know, again, but for my marketing and my branding of my persona, that's what I wanted. That's what I chose. That's the deal that I felt that it was good for me. I didn't want to be just a new adult author or to be just an adult romance author or anything like that because, you know, again, you have to stand out. And this is something through research and marketing and, you know, years of it, you have to stand out. And that's why, you know, I branded myself as that, and that's what I chose.
And what was that again?
You know, like I said, you know,
She branded it that way. That's what she's saying. So she's branding it that way.
So,
but
again,
I just can say from experience that it is very difficult if a book is in this market right now. It's the way it is. Oh, romance, the happy ending, this and that. And there are people on here right now that are telling you that we all have different
mm-hmm.
books, and they're not always in the same genre that everybody's using right now. And it is difficult, and Amazon has made it very difficult because they took away even the keywords now that we can't put it.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
that makes it really difficult now to even explain.
Right, but they did that for good reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to say why? We're going to end the show soon, but do you want to say why they ended? You think they ended it or why they did end it?
Yeah, well, I mean, according to Amazon, one of the reasons they ended it was that, and this is part of the same problem with, like, too many people kind of flooding the marketplace, is that a lot of
yes.
them are trying to manipulate
right.
the keywords and the sales figures and the reviews.
Right.
And that's not what Amazon's for. It's a bookstore.
Right. Right.
It's not a promotional tool. It's important for you to be on Amazon so people can buy your book, but it's not
right.
Amazon's job to promote you over other people. That's your
right.
job. And what was happening was too many people were kind of manipulating Amazon's system of putting in keywords that weren't accurate, trying to link
or
books
putting
to
names of other
bestsellers to try
successful.
To raise them up.
Right, putting
right.
books that were successful in with
yeah.
theirs.
Getting a bunch of people to write reviews who hadn't read the book, so that in exchange for doing a review for them, so they would get a large number of 5-star reviews. Like, people were trying to game the system so dramatically that eventually Amazon had to just step in and say enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's just like everything else. Everybody gets punished for the ill deeds
right,
of
exactly.
others.
Right.
Of
yes.
A few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it is difficult, and that is, I'm glad you brought it up, because it is a very difficult thing, and I have changed my ending for Love Changes, but I'm not exactly sure, because I think I wanted to. However, when I wrote the book, it ended where I thought it should, and sometimes that should be good enough, and for me, I decided to change it, but I really sometimes think that was the story, you know, and I think it's hard for a lot of people because of what they've done with this. And what Jeff Fleischer is saying about, right, people have manipulated Amazon into a certain thing where Amazon is making changes now that they feel are necessary, and probably they are because the market got totally insane. I mean,
I'll tell you, you know what the necessary change is? Mm-hmm. Amazon needs to charge $100 when you upload a new book. And when your book reaches the point where it sold $100 worth of sales, then they refund you that original $100, which would cause a lot of the crap to stop being uploaded.
Yeah, I would say
500, but yeah, same idea.
And I just think, you know, to add a few things, I think basically the reason my show is A Good Story is a Good Story is because my manager for years, when I had him for years, one of the things he always told me was just write a good story. And that is what I try to do. Whether it fits in the genre, it doesn't always fit in the genre. And right now it is impossible because even in my Virginia series, it's a romance, erotic type of story. But however, the people are liking her power and her strengths and that she's not in bed all the time. So I think that this is a very difficult thing. I've had a lot of people on the shows, and everybody doesn't fit in the mold, especially like Elizabeth and I were talking about in the horror. It's a mm-hmm. killer for a lot of people. And when we have horror shows, I love the horror shows because we always have a good time talking about all of this because not everybody fits in the mold. It's like when you're a teenager, you're not always in the mold, you know, and you want to be your own person. And that's one of the other pitfalls of being in these groups are we're not all the same. And it's like some of these groups are like cliques, and we are. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like anybody else. I'm who I am, and that's what everybody should be thinking when they're writing. Just write the best story, and don't worry about what everybody thinks. You can't, you know. It just doesn't work. And you, in order to keep going on, you just have to be happy with this, and you can't just fit. Not everybody fits in the mold. So that's basically what I want to add about that. I don't think people should have to be in a mold. I think they have to write the best story that they can write. And if there is ending, it's life.
Hey, I'd like to offer a marketing suggestion before the show's over.
Did you want to say something?
Go. Yeah, I'd like to offer a marketing suggestion before the show's over.
Yes, you can. Yes,
that
you
is
can.
Meetup.com. Is everybody familiar with Meetup.com?
No. No.
Yes.
Well, there's a website, it's called meetup.com, and basically what it is, it's a place where people with like interests go and they schedule meetings, and they actually physically go out to a place and they meet each other in person. Now, one of the things I noticed on meetup.com, depending on the size of the metropolitan area that you live next to, there are book clubs on meetup.com who meet on a monthly or weekly basis that you can theoretically ask them if you could attend their meetup, or you could contact the person who's the leader of that meetup group and ask them if you could speak to their group, do a presentation of your work to that group. And it's just an opportunity if you have the time to schedule something like that and theoretically go out once a week or once a month to one of these groups. I think it would really help to if not increase your sales, but at least sell something, you know.
I mean, there are a lot of things.
Your name out there.
Right.
And
you're
meeting people face to face, which is an excellent idea.
Every time I meet somebody face to face, I sell books.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah. I think people lose track of that a lot.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
word of mouth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every time I go to a convention, I mean, I'll be sitting out having a cigarette and sell a book at a convention. And I'm not even, without even having a table, you know, and it's possible that all you have to do is really talk to people about your writing, and if they are even remotely interested in your genre or your topic, they'll buy a book from you.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, like I had Roger Ellery on. He's in the UK, and he talks about he's very, very successful there, and he just likes to talk to the people and go out, and it really helps the author. Even if there's, look at some of the best-selling authors do not have hundreds and hundreds of people coming to book signings. They don't come to the bookstores anymore like they did. And but when you go out and meet people, which is what I'm going to start to do again, because it's much better mentally, because people actually like to talk to authors, and kids like to talk to authors in schools. And I think I would encourage people to do more of that, because it really is mentally good for the author to keep going, to finally hear people say, I liked your book. And if a kid, after, like when I would go to the schools and I would read my book, I thought, well, okay, fine. But then when they wanted to buy it after I read it, it was so exciting, because I figured, like, oh, if they want to read the book after I already read it, then they must like it. So I was happy. But you don't get that from internet, because what's happening is there's so much negative going around, which is why today's show, which is why, Laura, you're hearing this now, that negative isn't good for anybody. And you know, most of us have been in this longer as writing, and it's not good for anybody. And so the best thing is just write the best story. Just have a good time with this. And I'm going to continue to take my own advice, because I am not saying that I didn't get caught up in this, because it's easy to get caught up in this. Because, you know, you start talking to someone, they say something, and then, you know, you're going like, geez, you know, how many books did they sell? You know, and it's like my book, Sela, sells more than every other book that I have, and that's a nonfiction book, and I rarely even talk about that book. That's because it's a subject matter people want, the Holocaust, but it does sell. And so books sell. It's just, if like what we were talking about before, if somebody wants to read it, and there's different markets. So it takes time, though, to get books out there. And it may not be 2 months or 6 months. It may take a couple of years for a person that has self-published or small published to get their book out there, but you have to try to do different things, like we all are saying today, to try to meet up with people, try to talk to people, try and just keep writing. That's basically, like Elizabeth said at the beginning, that's the advice that almost everybody gives on the show is keep writing. Don't stop.
Well, especially with e-books.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Especially now that we have e-books, also books don't go out of print.
Right.
So if you publish a book this year and it doesn't sell right away, it still exists if your third book down the line becomes somewhat successful.
Yeah.
People will go back and buy your first and second.
Right.
That's true.
And especially if you're self-published, it never goes into the bargain bin.
Right. And sometimes what happens is you have to – sometimes – you're not exactly sure what kind of a writer you are. You might switch your genre. I've listened to Fran Lewis's show all the time, and she had several authors say that after their six books, they finally got fans. And then they're very successful now, but it took them six books to get there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you don't hear on the internet, because the people on the internet, that a lot of people in a lot of these groups and, you know, on Facebook, they really, you know what, they haven't been writing a long time. Some of them aren't writers, and they're not giving good advice, which is a bad thing.
Promoters. It doesn't,
right. Yes.
It's not the same as being a writer.
So I think...
Hey, you know what's hilarious to me is the person who has written one book that isn't really a success, and now they're teaching classes.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Yes.
The one thing I will say, though,
that's true.
The one thing I will say, though, too, is, you know, definitely keep writing, but keep writing well and constantly trying to improve your craft and learning how to do things better and better, you know, and using a good editor will really help you do that. Learn how you can better improve your dialogue between your characters. Learn how you can better improve the interaction of your characters and constantly – you know, continue to improve your craft, and eventually you'll hit it. I just believe
Willow Cross is very, you know, she has a lot of fans, okay, and she wrote something. I didn't get a chance to put it out, but she wrote something, a message, and I'm going to put it on my blog, and I'm going to put it on different things, and I encourage people to look at that, because it's like everybody starts at one place, and, you know, you just got to keep going, you know, and she's very good at giving advice, and, you know, I really do like some of the advice that she gives. And people sometimes need to talk to somebody else that, you know, sometimes you just don't see certain things yourself. So try to find somebody that you really trust, and maybe they'll tell you the truth about maybe what they think you're doing wrong, or maybe something that they think you could do better, or maybe what you should do instead of worrying about a lot of the things that aren't necessary. Because sometimes you just don't see things, no matter how many years you're writing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have print partners and beta readers in addition to an editor. And all of that helps a lot because it's good to have more than one set of eyes. Okay, so, I mean, after I've been working on the story for so long, I can insert the word alligator in there anywhere and I won't see it. I just need somebody else to look at this and find out, you know, where the problems are. And then when they point them out, you hit yourself on the head because it was so obvious you just couldn't see it.
But it doesn't.
Because you're too close to your work.
You never see the obvious because you're just, it's in your head, you know, and that's why, you know, it really is true. And, you know, certainly it is really nice when you work with the same editor like I do with Jeff, because he absolutely knows how I write. And he knows, like,
they learn your voice and your style.
Right. And when I have written something in one of my books, the last one, where the story, I knew I had a little problem there. I just couldn't get it. And then I knew he would find it. And he said, you know, what are you doing here? What happened here? Went like, I
don't know what you're talking about.
I go like, oh, okay, I knew it, okay? And he said, can you fix it? And I did fix it. I fixed it myself. And then he said, you know, I did it really pretty fast because I knew what the problem was, but I needed someone to say. I knew he would find it because he's very good that way. So that's why you have to trust that the person can find it, you know, because I see what people do. And when I mean, some people write a book and they never look back at it. And then they send it to the publisher and the publisher gives it to an editor. This is a lot of the smaller publishers. And the editor, they rewrite the whole book. And then the writer goes, oh, yeah, how about my book? And they don't even look at it again. And that's really not the best way to write because it's not your best. Your best is when you know that when you're done, the story is told. But however, I would say this happens to a lot of people. Sometimes when you reread it, you go like, maybe I should have done this. You can always add something. But sometimes you have to say goodnight to the little book. You're done, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you work with the same person, it does help you because they know. And you're going to know when you write something, they're going to question, like Jeff said, like, what happened here? Like, yeah, all right. You know, and it's true. And I, like, sometimes when we'd be in the office together, he'd be looking at my work. I'm going like, what are you doing? And he's got my red pen and whatever, and he's writing. And I'm going like, that many mistakes? You know, and it's like, we all are insecure in certain ways that way. But it's part of writing. So this is, you know, on that note, I want everybody to say goodnight, and all your websites, if everybody sends me anything that they want, I'm going to put it out because I think it's easier to do it that way because if everybody gives their website now, everybody's tired and nobody's going to probably pay attention. So this way, people will pay attention when I send it out again. Because I think this has really been a really good, interesting show, and I just want to thank everybody because the people on the show, I knew that they would come up with all the things I needed to talk about, and we did. And does anybody have a last note to say on anything? Okay.
Happy reading.
That's right. All right. Thank you all for coming on. And tomorrow is our Jeffrey. He has some great, really good guests on the show. And, you know, try to listen to a lot of these people because they really give advice. I am always taking notes on every show that I listen to a lot of the Blog Talk shows, and they're really good, and especially when you hear people that have written over year after year after year, they still have the same problems that we are talking about now. So on that note, good night, everybody. Thank you all
good
for
night,
coming.
Night.
I really
good
appreciate
night. Thank
it.
You.
Good night. Bye-bye.